Do you want to preserve a civilized society? A society which does not have nearly the same level of offense taken, of recriminations, of hatred, and even violence that are expressed over the simple statement of ideas, abstract notions in words or in writing. If you want to have a more civilized society where people treat one another with more respect and a lot of misunderstandings and pointless conflicts are averted, then it is important to keep in mind a threefold distinction between ideas, actions, and people. Ideas can be true or they can be false. Actions can be right or they can be wrong. People can be good or they can be evil. And the criteria for assigning any of these designations are different among the three different categories. Many people mistakenly believe that if somebody has a false idea, or even if somebody engages in certain kinds of wrong actions, that automatically makes them evil people. And of course, right there, the potential for any kind of respectful interaction is stifled. So, why is there this difference? We have to consider that an idea is an expression of some kind of abstract statement regarding the nature of the world or regarding how desirably we ought to behave in the world. It could be a factual idea, it could be a normative idea. But the mere statement of that idea does not necessarily bind even the person who stated it in behaving in certain ways. Even the same words, when they are stated by different people, may be given different interpretations or different psychological associations. Not that there is no objective definition or meaning to those words, but in each person's own expression, they are colored somewhat by associations and experiences that that person has had that are not quite the same as the associations and experiences of other people. But it is in fact possible to have false ideas and still commit right actions all or most of the time. I think, for instance, of religious people and atheists, among whom the prevalence of right conduct is quite similar. I have met many moral upstanding religious individuals, I have met many moral upstanding atheists, and I have met quite reprehensible characters, both of religious persuasions and of atheistic persuasions. So it seems that the simple fact of holding a particular abstract idea will not determine the morality or immorality of one's conduct. And a much more sophisticated interaction is going on between ideas and actions. So, it's perfectly acceptable to say to a person who is a moral person, look, I don't think you are quite correct in this idea. I think you're mistaken, and here's why. But that should not be used to impinge that person's morality or that person's virtue, because simply because that person made a mistake does not mean that he is a bad person. Furthermore, actions can be right or wrong, but committing a wrong action does not necessarily make one an evil person, just as committing an isolated right action does not necessarily make one a good person. Let's use an example. Let's say there is a mass robber, murderer, rapist who once a week decides to, for some reason, help an old woman to cross the street. Or, for instance, he decides to honestly trade with people one day of the week instead of actually robbing and expropriating them as he would usually do. Now, that one day of the week, he is committing right actions by refraining from the initiation of force, maybe helping people who deserve to be helped, and yet he is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a good person. Likewise, you could have somebody who is typically an upstanding moral individual who has a fit of temper once in a while and gets unjustifiably angry at somebody and insults somebody. that doesn't make him an evil person all around. It just means he has committed a wrong action. And it is possible to criticize the action without criticizing the person. Now, what then is a good person? What is an evil person? With ideas and actions, it seems the criteria for deciding are much simpler, because we could look at a single idea and say, well, is this true according to whatever standards we decide are the standards of truth? Or we could say, well, is this action right or wrong based on our standards of morality? And we can evaluate individual actions as individual units. With evaluating people, it's a lot more complex than that. And this is why I would advise to reserve passing judgment on whether a person is evil or not, unless one has a preponderance of evidence from multiple sources in multiple arenas of life. Because good and evil are not necessarily defined by single moments in a person's life. They could be, if you rape a person, if you murder a person, you're probably evil. And yet, most people commit infringements that are much more minor than that, and also, at the same time, engage in a lot of actions that would be considered undecidedly virtuous. So, we need to evaluate these people in a much more sophisticated way. We need to see what the general tendency of that person's life tends to be. And we can, by no means unambiguously say, well, this person is evil. We need to make certain distinctions. We could say, we believe this person is evil because he has committed so many wrong acts as to positively counterbalance anything good that he might have done. On the other hand, we could also look at a person who has committed certain reprehensible acts, but then say, on balance, he's a decent person. And it's very difficult to make a judgment out of hand without having a lot of evidence and a lot of time to look at the circumstances of the situation. Now, in a 10-minute presentation, I'm certainly not going to give an exhaustive list of criteria. But one thing to consider is initiation of force against other people. That is, to what extent has a person coerced somebody else, and also what has been the magnitude of that coercion? And furthermore, if the coercion has occurred, has that person recognized its wrong and tried to make some kind of amends for it? Now, if a person coerces systematically and doesn't make amends for it, that's at least a good indication of evil. Now, another possible indication of evil is systematically self-destructive behavior. And this should not be taken as a very rigorous standard of interpretation either, because a lot of people engage in behaviors that might be self-destructive in the sense that if you didn't engage in it, you would probably be better off. Say, systematic smokers or systematic users of certain soft drugs. But I would certainly not call those people evil. It would take a repeated series of outright suicidal attempts, I think, to classify somebody as being sufficiently opposed to life in general and having a sufficiently perverted sense of life to wish actively his own death. People who smoke, people who take soft drugs, are typically not taking them with the intention of killing themselves. They just derive some kind of physical pleasure from the act. So it's a very difficult decision to make on a case-by-case basis. And I would say, if it comes down to a doubtful situation, always give people the benefit of the doubt, and assume that they're at least not evil people, unless you have clear evidence to the contrary.